Hey SEOs and content marketers, say goodbye to crazy spreadsheet mashups and experience unprecedented connectivity between your SEO planning and reporting data. Introducing Audience Key, technology for keyword mapping, content brief automation, and rank tracking that form an SEO strategy system providing unparalleled feedback loops between planning, reporting, and optimization activities. Put your time and energy into strategy, not data upkeep. Visit audiencekey.com and apply for a free trial today.
Hey everyone, welcome to Webcology on WMR.fm. It's the 31st of July, 2025. Quick warning, three more shopping months till Halloween. Yep. This is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media and Christine Schackinger from Sites Without Walls. Christine, how you doing today?
Hey, how you doing? I am totally thrown by there being Halloween sections in stores right now.
There's only three shopping months till Halloween. What are you going to do? I mean, you got to get it together is what you got to do.
And whole sections, not just a little bit. But we've had a pretty cool summer here for us. It's only around 100 this week, which is unheard of in the end of July. So I'm happy.
For the first time in about a week and a half, it's tolerable outside in the southern Canada or the northeast of the United States. We've been sitting under an oppressive heat dome heat wave for the last 2 weeks. Yeah. And it broke. It's beautiful outside. You can actually feel coolness in the air.
Awesome. Yeah, normally this time of year, it's 108 at night, like at midnight. So I'll take 95 during the day.
Absolutely. Okay, yeah. Before we go further, we got to say thank you to Wix Studio and to Audience Key, our sponsors. Thank you both so much. Keep the lights on, keep the tape rolling. And most importantly, keep the web and webmasters rolling. So Audience Key, Wix Studio, thank you so much. This was so not on purpose, but we're going to start with a WordPress vulnerability. WordPress AI engine plugin, there's about 100,000 websites using it. There's a vulnerability related to the REST API, Advanced Programming Interface, in versions 2.93 and 2.94. If there is a 2.95, there is. So update as quickly as you can, AI engine plugin.
Yep. And then number two is also.
Yeah, another. This one's actually a bit bigger. This is only 80,000 sites, but it's WooCommerce.
So it's a plugin vulnerability. They need to update to the newest version, 5.81.0, and it's the customer review plugin for WooCommerce, and it's also having an exploit because they didn't sanitize or escape outputs, meaning people could put code into the plugin. So
the WooCommerce customer review plugin vulnerability affecting 80,000 sites, or the WordPress AI engine plugin vulnerability up to 100,000 sites. And you know, I'm pretty curious. We've been reporting on the two new WordPress environments. What would you do in this situation? Where are you getting your update?
Just want to make sure you get the official update from the people that make it, or from WordPress.com. They'll have a version of it. But when you're inside WordPress, you can usually upload the official version of like WooCommerce and WordPress AI, since they're their main plugin developers. So one word for anybody who is adding plugins, never add them from an unknown site. Only add them from well-known developers or from WordPress itself.
If you're in the UK and you look at your Google results, you might find that as of today, they look a little different. Google AI mode has expanded in the UK.
Yeah, I saw everyone in a UK group I'm in. I think you're in it too, Jim, last night, checking it to see if they have the AI mode yet. Some did, some didn't, so I hadn't fully rolled out. But we'll hear what they think of it once they get rolling in those private groups.
Well, again, to anybody new to Google AI mode or new to using Gemini, where you're actually going to notice it is how much Google bills you at the end of the month. Seriously, they your usage of AI is tied to your Google Workspace account. Not in search, so you can do as many AI mode searches as you'd like to do. But if you want to take that and start working with it in Gemini, then it's going to start costing you. OpenAI launches study mode in ChatGPT for students. Rejoice, at least with the condensed note version of whatever you're looking at. A new feature in ChatGPT is sort of aims to help students.
As opposed to, it says teachers have been, professors have been complaining, rightfully so, since day one that their students are using ChatGPT mode to answer their, you know, papers, to write their papers, to do all that kind of work. And so in response to that, by the way, this is purely voluntary. There is no measure to make you use this. They are putting out a study mode where it asks you questions, asks like a tutor, supposedly.
It helps guide you to the answer rather than just giving it to you.
But the problem is it still gives you the answer. And the other problem is that they don't really talk about a lot. We'll have to see how it works in the real world. Still based on a model that is wrong anywhere from 20% to 80% of the time. So what you get in there could be completely untrue, unfactual. So it's just reversing the mode and how you use it, but it doesn't have any ability to fix those other issues. So I'd say that's a negative because people could be learning the wrong things and thinking they're learning the right things.
Off the top of my head, I can think of a dozen reasons why this is scary.
You get your first couple, because I have a couple too.
Well, I mean, like when you're teaching is a skill set. It's not a technical skill. It's a set of emotional and empathetic skills that help you relate to the person who's learning. And every teacher understands that every learner is slightly different and you have to teach them differently. Even if you have a classroom of like 35 students, you still have to treat them as individuals. We know how ChatGPT gets all sycophantic and often in trying to, be kind to or be nice to, sound like it's being nice to the person it's working with. ChatGPT will often phrase things in a unconfrontational way. A pleasing way.
They're supposed to agree with you in some way.
And is that really the way to best teach people? I don't know if this is just going to be reaffirming biases. That's the thing that just keeps ringing in my head. This will eventually just be used to reaffirm pre-held bias.
Yeah, and in addition to that, there is no teacher version of this. There is no parent controls, so there is no way to force a student to use any of this anyway. But in addition, just what you said, I find that it's kind of a scary thing because they did a study where they tested the knowledge of people and were to use ChatGPT often or not at all, and then in between, right? And the people who used it often or always were like missing like 20% of the answers. They got them wrong, but they were more convinced that they were right because the reaffirmation from the ChatGPT model made them think that they were correct, right, in their answers. So they know less, but they think they know more, which is like that drunk guy in the bar, you know? It's like,
good play, but you know what? It's like we learned nothing from COVID. We've learned nothing from social media. We had social media is such an extraordinary tool, great communications tool that has been used to legitimize drivel, used to legitimize conspiracy theories that just 10, 15 years ago would have been dismissed as lunatic raving. In COVID, we learned how quickly, just like wildfire, these lunatic ravings can take over and become in some cases, the dominant thinking in society or sub-societies. And now we have a new technology, chatbot generative answers that, you know, as Christine's saying, may or may not be right. Often kind of sort of pretty correct, but sometimes not, and you can get off into these tangents of not being right. Confidently making people feel really, really confident in misinformation.
Yeah, and even let's say it's the lowest, 20%. That's still a lot of bad information, right? Like if you're trying to learn something, especially if it's something you're new to. So the foundations of what you're supposedly studying could be totally incorrect. And then all your logic comes from incorrect or incorrect facts or not facts or, disinformation, misinformation, whatever it happens to be. But I do find it, the more we're talking about, the more concerning I find it, because two things. One, I see the blatant, we have to make money ploy here. Eventually they'll charge for it and they don't have a way to make the money they need to make in revenue or OpenAI or for any of these models right now. They're most of them are losing money. And so they're trying to make a product that seems like it's a positive and an answer to a problem that their product caused, but actually all it does is cause more difficulties. Right? I do like one teacher, I talked about this a couple of weeks ago, where she was having the problem with her students using OpenAI, ChatGPT. And so she had them write the answer in ChatGPT, and then they had to research what it got wrong. They had to go through the whole thing that it wrote. It was a certain length that she had them write. And then they had to go through and fact check it. And by the time they were done fact checking it, they found out how wrong it was. By the end of her class, a lot of them stopped using it for coursework. And I thought that was pretty, but as you said, a teacher, right? The teacher's like, I have this problem. I'm going to find a solution. The solution is I'm going to make them fact check the answers. And then they're going to tell me the citations. They're going to do the real research. And by the end, they're not doing the ChatGPT easy way anymore because they realized they were putting down wrong stuff. And who wants to put down wrong stuff on a school paper? You don't want to turn that in and like be marked to heck because you got facts wrong, right? So I think that's a good way someone's dealing with it. I don't feel that this is a good way. I think it's the illusion of studying without actually making the student really study and also without knowing what they're putting in there is correct.
Well, I mean, I always like to sort of ground my thoughts about AI and what AI is doing, where it's taking us and all that other sorts of stuff with the way things were before AI. And I remember an internet full of diploma mills, an internet full of essay writers, an internet full of people who would do the work for you so you could cheat your way through a university or college. And that existed. That was out there.
We were rare.
No, it wasn't rare at all.
It's rare to use it. I could probably name 1% ever knew that did that.
Okay. Well, maybe in the billions of people that exist. By the way, there was thousands of those websites. So numerous people must have been using them, regardless of how many any of us individually knew. They existed for reasons. To make money.
You had to pay a decent amount for those papers too.
Indeed. So yeah. I don't really see how we exist in a world where misinformation pushed for profit or miscredentialization. Which I would suggest having ChatGPT do the work for you so you could earn some credential is a miscredentialization. Ultimately, that existed. That totally existed before.
That's a good AI,
though. The thing that scares me.
So what scares you?
It's the scale of how quickly AIs are being adopted. And let's remember that, again, this is the infancy of AI, and they will change and evolve and get far better at what they're doing. But the way they're being adopted now and misused bothers me. Throw links at it. Let's throw some AI at it.
Yeah, I really do think that all AI models should have, because they get tested by outside groups, their error rates at the top of every prompt. At the top of every use, because at least then people are immediately aware that it is often not correct. And right now, too many people rely on it for research and facts, and it's really the last thing you should rely on for it. It's like going to the drunk guy in the bar. Sure, he knows a lot about one topic, but the others he'll just make up off the top of his head, which is pretty much what it does.
For what it's worth, as a political pundit and someone who comments on technology for a living, I am that drunk guy in the bar. That's what they pay me for. They just pay me for, you know, because it's honest to goodness. I'm a pundit. Half the time we know what we're talking about, and half the time we're just trying to do math on the fly with a bunch of factors that change rapidly. But one thing I know that holds steady all the time, no matter what, this is a capitalist environment that we live and work in. And if they're throwing money at it, they're only doing that because they expect to get scads and scads of money back. There's no, you don't throw money out there unless you expect return.
Right.
It should give, I mean, like there is, AI is in everything, so much so that to get the very top talent, people are paying above super athlete wages. $250 million pay package for some AI superstar technologists. Now, this may be a pay package spread out over a couple of years, maybe a pay package spread out over a couple of months, depending on the task and purpose of the technologist. But that the benchmark, and this benchmark incidentally was recently set by Meta, offering a $250 million pay package to a AI technologist programmer, Matt Ditke. He's 24 years old, recently helped found a startup, and he's been recruited to join Meta's research effort dedicated to creating super intelligence. $250 million for a techie over 4 years. That's the offer is gone to go over 4 years. It's phenomenal. That's NBA level.
Yeah, if only my math skills were better, because I think I'd be taking some time to learn some algorithms and AI and getting myself a $250 million a year job for a year.
Well, you see, now we know why Dave's not doing this show anymore, right?
Yeah, that's it. Yes, Dave is good at math.
Dave was brilliant at math. Yeah. Anyway, so that's up there now. So if the AI companies are, the AI developers are willing to spend $250 million, and granted, this is $250 million split up over 4 years, on one person's brain, one person's thought process, or one person's ability to collaborate with other brilliant persons, they... AI everything is not a fantasy. This is exactly what they're investing in.
They are, but they are, right now it's not producing on the investment monetarily. So we'll see what happens next year, because 60% of these types of projects have already been pulled.
Well, so, I think we're looking at the superstar projects that are going to be, like, you know, running the government or. You know, that level of payback.
The big guys are going to stick around, but a lot of little guys are going to fail by the end of next year.
Very likely. Hopefully they fail upward by being purchased rather than failing downward by being crushed.
They're not making revenue, so that's the problem. And you know, you and I both know VCs expect by year five to get 5 to 10 times their investment. Right now they're not making revenue, so most of them are getting shut down. Well, they're not going to make. They know they're not going to make it back, because they've gotten that report from things like Goldman Sachs. They're not going to get their money back.
For what it's worth, I think I'm really hoping that VCs, investors, Wall Street, and whomever also temper their expectations of AI. I just had this really long conversation with a well-known name brand corporation, one of those big people things who can't wrap their heads around the idea that they need to come up with new success metrics. I mean, they can wrap their heads around it totally fine. They understand they need to, but what are those metrics? How do you do that? The whole model is built on ABC, and now you need us doing XYZ, and you need us doing 10 times XYZ, but everything was built to do ABC. It is, I think the VCs need to go through that kind of process as well. They need to have a whole new set. And I'm absolutely positive that they do, given that they're the ones who put all this money up. In many cases, yeah, some smaller projects are going to fall by the wayside, and they probably should, be given that it's the AI world and it's probably replicable. but like, I think they have to be looking in decade long, in 2 or 3 decade long spans now. This is completely earth changing or world changing, much like the advent of the original internet was. Okay, so moving along, this is scary.
Yeah, this is really bad. Was this
a vibe coding issue?
Yeah, that's what has been said, at least by the reporting. Just a comment on the general state of the internet right now. For this story today, which is a really big story, I hit 5 paywalls on the first story. Like, I didn't hit it for other stories, right? So I had to go through 5 sites before I could find a site where we could get the story without paying for the subscription. Yeah. And that is why misinformation works so well, because real information is locked behind so many paywalls, and I get people have to make money, but still, it's kind of crazy. Anyway, so
we need new revenue models, because the old ones are built on ABC. We're doing XYZ now.
Yeah, and I had a really good revenue model before TikTok came out, but it was sort of TikTok-like, but I couldn't get anyone interested. So, so T is a woman-only dating app. She's also had critiques because T lets you. Let me back up for a second. There's in Facebook, there's like groups where like it's like, do you know this guy? And those are, hey, do you know this guy I've been out with? And then the women come in and say, I do, and this is what they're like, and this is what they did. Well, this app kind of lets you do that too.
Girls so talk in girl safe spaces.
Yeah, well, and also girls are labeling guys as you know.
Girls talk in girl safe spaces, and the things they talk about is, one of the things they talk about is bad dates.
Yes, exactly. And in this case, they'll label people. But you don't know if it's, you hope no one's lying about anybody, but someone could be. So they come under a lot of criticism for that reason. But however, so they got, they had a massive data breach. The back end was completely unsecure. Over 72,000 private images and more than 13,000 government issued IDs were leaked online, including to 4chan, who published all of it. People on 4chan, not 4chan itself.
Mm-hmm.
So they said only data was affected, but, and also, by the way, there was another break this week. So this first one happened in February, and then there was another one this week. But the critics of T's use of vibe coding, and for people who don't know vibe coding, it's AI-generated code with no proper review, left its Firebase database open with no authentication. Basically, you could go on the database if you found the link, and there's nothing there to make sure you should have access to it. So, and we've talked about this before, vibe coding is extremely dangerous for anybody who doesn't know how to code, or if you're not reviewing the code. And I cannot believe a company had AI generated code in it for access to a database with no review.
My first question is, like, beyond the person who did this, who at the company would have even known? I mean, it's something you should know. If you publish it, you should know it. But honestly, yeah. This is a social mission site, not a technology site, right?
But they should have coders that, you know, check the code. So they didn't even have that. They just sort of relied on the AI to do the coding. And as we know from the one where the database deleted itself last week because it panicked, right? Or my friend who this week, he didn't want me to name his name, but where he was just asking about the power, how much power large language models use into this app that someone developed with vibe code, and it freaked out and it shut itself down because it was harming the world and it needed to go away. So these things are really, it's really, vibe coding is very dangerous, because vibe coding means that nobody, unless you are using it as an experienced developer and know what could be wrong with it, that's different. But if you're not, if you're using, like, I'm going to do a startup and I'm going to do vibe code and I'm going to make my app out of vibe code and I'm just going to vibe code and I'm not going to really worry about anybody reviewing my vibe code. That is this kind of dangerous. And so these women who were thought they're operating in a safe space now have their images and their government issues ID online and also leaked on chat, 4chan. If anybody doesn't know 4chan, 4chan is the cesspool of the internet. It makes Twitter look like Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. It is really despicable on many channels. Some channels are okay, but most of them are really pretty awful. So,
learn from this story. 3, if you include don't vibe code without checking it, but that should go without saying. Yeah. 1 is, if you're publishing something on the web that's supposed to be a secure and safe space, you're obliged to make it a secure and safe space, unless this was a honey trap to begin with. Number two, if you're participating in something that you assume to be a secure and safe space on the internet, especially if you're a woman who wants to have a safe space to talk about male partner violence, sexual abuse, or you very, very, very dangerous topics where, you know, an abuser might feel that that they were personally identified or something, the onus is, I'm sorry, but the onus is absolutely on you to guarantee that you are in a safe space, because you can't trust the person who put the website up to do that for you. Yeah. And it's a really crappy thing to say. It's not to say that the victim is responsible for making sure that they're not the victim, but this is the internet. And it is still the Wild West.
This is egregious, though, to a level I don't think we've seen before, because normally dev teams check their code and they test their code and they have teams that check the code and they don't use an AI tool to write the code.
And everybody participating here should have felt safe and should have been safe. There's no question about that, but they weren't.
They weren't. And also, it even revealed the private messages.
Yeah. And it's all open. Everything is open to whoever wants to look at it for research purposes or for malicious purposes, whatever.
And since it's been breached, we know that data is probably out there on Pastebin or something like that. Is that usually where it winds up? It's on 4chan, a lot of the information. So if you've used this app, I would suggest uninstalling it or disabling it for the time being and seeing if they fix the issues later if you still want to use it. But I would definitely shut it down right now, because you don't want, this is a vulnerability that they can't just easily fix. So they have people working on it, but they're still working on it. So once you code in a vulnerability, you sometimes have to deconstruct massive parts of the logic. And since the AI coded it all without review, they don't know where the issues lie. So they're going to have to do testing to see where all the issues lie. This may be one of many. So anyways, just a warning out there. If you're vibe cutting, the other thing you have to remember is you are legally responsible for what happens. So T will be legally responsible if any of this data is used against these people. And likely it will be, because it's now sitting on the open net. And anybody, you do an app and you give it to 50 friends. If one of those friends gets something breached on their phone or their computer, you are legally responsible. So don't do it if you don't know what you're doing.
Okay.
Yeah.
This story actually started a couple of years ago. I can't imagine what it would be like if they tried to prosecute it today. So Elon Musk's X Corp, the cesspool formerly known as Twitter, has lost a second bid to overturn a penalty imposed by Australia's online watchdog a couple of years ago when X was still Twitter and ostensibly owned by somebody else. The 2 years ago, Twitter was handed a transparency notice by the Australian eSafety Commissioner, Julie Ingman Grant, seeking information about what Twitter was doing to address the proliferation of child sexual abuse, sexual exploitation materials on its platform. Twitter, I guess, didn't respond properly. It did. It was hit with a. Twitter did respond, and XS Corp did respond again. But the commission argued that their response was inadequate, hit them with a fine in September that year.
And now we know, go ahead, sorry.
I was going to say, the fine isn't the problem. The fine is only like $650,000.
Yeah, he sneezes after breakfast.
The problem is being found to be responsible for an agreement that Twitter made. Elon Musk doesn't want to be held responsible for agreements that were made before he became proprietor, especially ones around the censorship of anything, including obviously child sexual exploitation, and you know, given Musk's previous support for a known pedophile, I can understand why he would want to resist being responsible, being held responsible for these being published on his platform. He's allowed it in the past and in his presence.
Do you notice the little thing that he did that I never picked up on, and I'm sad that I didn't?
Mm-hmm.
he merged Twitter with X Corp to avoid court cases.
Mm-hmm.
As Twitter no longer exists.
That's right. That's what he's trying to argue. He shouldn't be held responsible for an agreement for a company that he purchased and then made cease to exist.
Remember how everyone was wondering why he did that back then, why he merged it? I bet if we go look at the court cases, that's why he created the merge. He did try to use it with Australia, but they said, no dice. This happened underneath Twitter, and we're not falling for that. That doesn't work here in our laws. It's $650,000.
It really doesn't. It's contract law. You purchase the existing contracts when you purchase the company.
Right. I'm just talking about the lawsuits. Mm-hmm. Like, there are some lawsuits that would have gone forward, but the merge probably eliminated a whole bunch of them. So it's $615,000, which to you and me is a lot of money, but for him, you know, he makes that in a minute, in a day? Like, I just pay the fine.
And the time it's taken him to talk to his lawyer about the crap we just said about him a few minutes ago, he just made that money back.
Mm-hmm. And the lawyers probably cost a lot more than he was going to be fined at the end of it. But anyway, but that's the thing. He did lose.
It's not the fine. It's position of liability. That's the problem.
Yeah, I know. But still.
Okay. So if you've just bought yourself a lifetime Starlink deal.
I'm sorry.
You didn't buy a lifetime Starlink deal. You bought a Facebook scam. So there you go.
People are aware there's a Facebook scam going around about buying lifetime Starlink, and it's being passed around through friends, through groups, and I don't know, and ads. Yeah, they have ads. So anyway, if you bought it, you've just been hoodwinked and you're not going to get your money back, so write it off and move on. But if you haven't bought it yet and you see one of these ads for a free Starlink dish and lifetime free, and it's only $150 to sign up, it's all a lie, and don't believe it. Sorry, I felt it deserved a little more.
Okay. This is a kind of a difficult, sensitive one for us to report, but we got to report it. Cloud security company Wiz discovered a critical flaw in Wix's base 44 vibe coding platform. This flaw enables attackers to bypass authentication and to gain access to private enterprise applications.
And let's say in this case, it's not a matter of like someone just being negligent as in the last story, but these things do happen. And we know vibe coding can have issues, as we talked about. They did respond though and start working on it within 24 hours.
Yeah, so
yeah,
this isn't just about a Wix vibe coding platform, or this is about vibe coding or any AI coding in general, any AI writing in general. Like, honest to goodness, get a machine to do heavy lifting for you. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you're going to publish it, you need to be responsible and edit the hell out of it first.
It's somebody who knows.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know why we have to stress how important that is. But if we need to stress how important that is, it really is important.
Well, I've had these discussions with people though prior today, like even a year ago, 2 years ago. And I'm like, they said, I'm coding this app. And I'm like, you don't have code experience. Like, no, I'm just coding it with AI. This is before the vibe coding thing. I'm like, don't do that. If you don't know what it's putting in there, if you don't know what makes it vulnerable, if you don't know that it could exploit someone's phone or computer, you should not be coding these things. So make sure that if you do use the AI code, you have a team of security experts who are telling you that it's good or bad.
You know, one of the reasons why more people aren't stunt people in like Hollywood movies?
Why this?
Because you actually have to learn how to fall down. There are hundreds of different ways to learn to fall down without breaking your bones. Same thing with building products for people on the web. There's 100 different ways to fall over without breaking your bones, but you got to learn how to do it first, or you're going to break your bones or somebody else's.
Very, very true. Yeah. Good analogy.
Thank you. I thought of it myself. Okay. This AI absolutely everywhere. Microsoft is putting Copilot mode to Edge with multi-tab AI analysis. It's funny, the headline just says AI at Edge, AI at Edge, AI at Edge, multi-tab analysis, voice navigation, and more features are going to be coming in development. But pretty soon using the Edge browser is going to be much simpler and actually kind of funky, given that you'll be able to speak to it to get things done.
Yeah, and you have some of the key features are multi-tab context awareness. So you can open up multiple tabs and Copilot will summarize it. Unified input interface, big words. You can just open a tab with Copilot mode on and you'll see a single input box that combines chat, search, and navigation. Voice navigation, as Jim just said, you'll be able to speak directly to it. And then they have some more features in development and automated actions with permission. They may use your browsing history and credentials to complete tasks. Not for me ever, but unlike booking appointments or finding deals. Topic-based journeys or dynamic assistance pane, you'll be able to interact with Copilot in a collapsible sidebar while keeping your current page in view. That could be helpful, yes, for sure. And then this is in Search Engine General.
Really good personal question, Christine.
Yes.
Just looking across your top browsing window right now, how many tabs do you have open?
Oh, this one's not much because it's for the show. Normally, I have about 4 to 6 browsers with probably more than 50 tabs open.
Now, if they were Edge browsers, you might be in a little bit of trouble, given that your half your CPU would be like analyzing and trying to figure out what was in common between all of these disparate things, right?
Very true. Uh-huh.
And heaven help you if you have like the Google Search Console profile of 4 or 5 clients open in different tabs in the same browser.
Well, see, so I don't know that I have ADD, but I sense from things I've seen on TikTok about ADD that I probably have some of it, you know, like a case of it. And so I felt really bad about all my tabs until I found out that's a very common ADD thing to have 40 or 50 tabs open at a time. So, but yes, AI would probably choke under my browsers, the amount of stuff I have open.
I can just I've seen your browser window, and I can imagine it trying to sum up everything that's there. I think this is a cool thing in so many ways. I especially can't wait to talk at and gesture at. Well, this isn't going to give us gesture command yet, but that, you know, that's common. To have a different, more personal interface with my computer. I can't imagine it not being faster and easier. But I think I'm going to have to learn how to fall down 100 different ways before I know how to make it work properly.
Well, and remember Meta's coming out with those hand things, like a wrist cuff, I think it was.
That's right, too. We said that last week.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait to play with that.
I think it'll last as a novelty. I'll be back to my typing, but it sounds like fun.
Well, we can't avoid typing. I mean, maybe we can, although I bet you I can type faster than I can coherently speak. I can type coherently faster than I can speak coherently.
And if it's like my voice to text on my phone, I spend half the time correcting what it says anyway. So, because there's a large line.
Use that if it takes so long to correct. Yeah, indeed.
Because I may have to put in like, 5-6 paragraphs, but I'm still correcting something in every paragraph because it rewrote it wrong. I see it, write it right. And the large language model comes along and goes, nope, this is the more common thing that means. And so they completely rewrite it.
Well, more common people might say it that way.
Bing.
This is actually a really good one. You should be using LastMod in your sitemaps anyway. But Bing is recommending LastMod tags for AI search indexing. It helps them know what the most recent thing is and helps them prioritize crawl.
Yeah, it's a key signal for AI recrawling assistant maps other than Search Engine Journal. Bing supports sitemap indexing at trillion at the trillion URL scale. I assume they mean not for your website specifically, but everybody. Combining sitemaps with IndexNow. So if you're not using IndexNow, you really should. I know Google says they don't use it yet, but the thing with that is that they've been testing it for at least over a year, so it can't hurt you. And IndexNow lets you kind of troll better what search engines see, but also if it hits one index now, it uses it for all the browsers or all the search engines that it works with. So OpenAI has just been recently found out to also use Google. So and Bing, so your index now would allow it to update more quickly. Sort of like when you used to use Twitter to get things to update an index, it still works. Put it out there and index like in 30 seconds, it's kind of the same thing.
Yeah. Index now is incredibly efficient in processing information into Bing and other search engines that use the protocol. DuckDuckGo is an example. It also uses Index now.
Exactly.
So time, how does it, one of the new schema-y things that's going to become more and more important in the AI-driven world, because remember, AI is being put everywhere. It's being put in tabs. It's being put in Word. It's being put in Microsoft Outlook. It's going to appear, Gemini versions are going to appear in Gmail, etc. Time sensitivity is really important. I just got over a long conversation about ISO dates, correct ISO dates in videos, and how this, you know, it's an optional tag, certainly, but you got to do it because the AIs really, the AIs want up to the minute information to share with search users. So Gemini or Copilot want up to the minute information. And that's what this is all about. Now you got to use this, there's specific formats. ISO format for both date and time is critical. But it's something that appear again. You'll get a warning rather than a error when like a schema warning and rather than a schema error in Search Console. But it's still something you want to do because all things being equal, the thing that the engines can define better is what's going to get promoted.
Exactly. And a lot of it has to do with what you're feeding the machine learning, which is structured data and proper HTML and chunks of content, all that good stuff.
Okay, I'm sorry. I was so busy thinking about the last story, I hadn't read ahead on the next one.
Oh, it's okay. I can jump in this one. We have query fan out technique in AI mode. Some details from Google. So Google's Robbie Stein is sharing details about the query fan out technique in AI mode. For those who are like, what the heck are you talking about? This is not new for large language models, just new for people in search who didn't realize that Google already used this in other displays, like people also ask. But basically, so people know, like, large language models have actually been around since 1966, and every large language model uses fan-out technique. It's not a Google-specific thing. And basically what it does is it allows them to associate topics and entities together, but sort of like neural matching. Remember neural matching when it came out in 2018, Jim? Mm-hmm. Where, like, you could just have the names of the comic characters from Marvel, but it would know it's Marvel. That's a fan-out technique, right? So it knows that Marvel comics fall under Marvel and it fans out the queries from there. So you've heard about the AI mode doing this.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm sure, right?
Very much reminds me of pre-caching, where Google would do infinite number of searches ahead of time to already have the SERPs worked out for commonly searched phrases. Very much reminds me of pre-caching.
Yeah, exactly. And basically, it's not that dissimilar from anything you've been doing if you've been looking at topical entities and related entities. It's just a little, it's just how the large language model handles it, which is called fan-out queries. But if you remember when somebody bought it and it was like super cool where you put in a question and it would give you 20 other questions. What was that tool? People something?
I'm not sure what it's called, but.
Yeah, but most of people in the industry used it at one time or the other. So you put a question in and have a visual graph and it would just show you like all the queries that could be made from that one query that were related to it. It's mm-hmm. that kind of thing where it's just looking for similarities between entities, and entities are just nouns, and topical relevancy just means under coffee, I'm going to have, you know, coffee pot, coffee cup, milk, flavorings, because they're all related to coffee there. So that's basically what it's about. And then, so really quick, Google gave some quick tips on it. But by the way, it can also trigger deep search when this starts. So just so people know, it's being used by 1.5 billion users each month. Includes text-based and multimodal input. Multimodal meaning images and other things. And the underlying data sources are traditional web results, as we talked about last week, and probably going to mention this week, that SEO is still your best way into all of this. And it updates, the shopping graph is one of these systems, which updates 2 billion times an hour. Chopping ground 2 billion times an hour. I don't think I've ever heard that stat before. It's pretty amazing. So this, they're referring to Google search as the largest AI product in the world. I don't know how you measure the largest probably product.
You know what? Google's and arguably the largest search database in the world.
That's true.
That's how you argue it.
Yeah. So so basically, it's just like if you look at a people also ask and you get another list of questions, or I can't even remember all the different ones they have now, but when you see the questions asked, and then you click it and it gives you another set of questions underneath it, that is fan out query. So if you want to understand fan out query or topic, just do a search on it and look at the people also ask or all the related boxes with the little magnifying glasses to do additional searches, and you'll see the queries related to that search.
Okay, Google search posts. Okay, so Google search now has a search result section titled posts on Reddit. You're searching about your favorite topic on
Google. Search results now often include a section titled discussions and forums, which features content.
Oh my God, like seriously.
Every week now, Jim. You need to hide your phone.
Jim
has his phone talking to us right now.
Oh, I swear to God, I'm going to throw this thing into the river.
every week it turns out my phone is talking.
Okay, what it said, except Google's actually got a new button that you didn't even talk about phone. Google's got like a new button or a new heading reading posts on Reddit that seems to be actually replacing discussion in forums.
You know,
using Reddit threads as the discussion.
I know this is just supposition, but Reddit was way down in clicks. And Google, and they have an agreement, so Google can train on it. And now we're going to get a special box just for Reddit. Not hidden gems anymore. Not Reddit, Quora, LinkedIn, and now Facebook. But we're going to get just Reddit posts. So I'm sure it has nothing to do with that relationship and the down clicks in Reddit, right?
No, that will be present for everybody except people in my office who will get a stuff Jim's phone said.
That's very, very true. So you might be seeing that.
Is this Google pushing traffic to Reddit? Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe it's Google saving time for what's left of its beleaguered development teams by getting rid of the discussion forum section.
Yeah. I don't think the discussion forum section really is that helpful.
Well, and so you have a space like Reddit that is infinitely more dynamic. Where do you think they're going to go for fresh material? Because anything Google, if Google is initiating a discussion forum, that's only half for the user's benefit. The other half is for Google's benefit.
Yes.
It wants to train in there, wants to learn from there, and wants to get user feedback and do some like pretty spiffy group test in that environment. Reddit is an even better platform because it appears to be neutral.
Yeah, it does. And they have the deal with Reddit to train on Reddit. So it's helpful in that way as well.
Yeah. So I bet you they're not trying to help Reddit as much as they're trying to help themselves. And they need to push the action into the dynamic space where the conversation will be robust enough to have people using slightly different words. This is 2025.
Speaking of help, Google Search has a new help in AI mode to help you shop. So Google's testing a button to drive more people into AI for shopping help. It's labeled "Help me shop in AI mode." But I'm telling you, Jim, I don't think AI mode is doing as well as they hope because they're putting it everywhere. But now they're going to help you shop, and it's just going to pick things for you that may be popular. And if you look at the images and the screenshots in the article at Search Engine Roundtable, you see like you. Do help me shop, and then it splits the screen, and then you'll also see extra information about shopping. In this case, it's for dog food. So
I think this might actually be a place where AI is more helpful than hindrance in people's lives. When you're looking for things in our society, you're given a cornucopia of consumer choices. There's so many options. And there's no possible way to properly research all of those options. to have AI sum up that research for me so I have digestible stuff to research rather than having to find the stuff to research and then go do the researching. Let it digest it, and then I can go, you know, do my secondary research. In that case, it makes a whole bunch more sense. I can see AI being used for, actually putting clothes on my pear-shaped body to see what they would really look like.
We had that from last week. I don't know if you remember. We talked about it.
Indeed. So I can see this being way more helpful than a hindrance. And any editing I would have to do is kind of the editing I'd have to do in the shopping process anyway, weeding out good product from bad, good information from bad. I've had to do that since I understood I lived in an advertising society.
No, I think it's fine. Except when you look at it, it's a lot for a phone, which is where I would tend to use this. So I'm just saying, like, maybe the display is not the best, but I do think this could be helpful. Yeah, split screen on a phone with two Google products is kind of a lot for a phone. Mine's not that big. And it's a decent sized phone. Yeah. Just real quick, we're just going to say this again, only because John made a point of it this week, and last week it was Gary at a conference, but someone asked John about AEO and GEO and all those OOOs, and John said, ignore all that, just SEO will get you in there, just like Gary said last week. Infrastructure has not changed. They use the same search engine with the same ranking signals to decide what documents to pull. You don't see all the documents, so I think that causes some of the confusion. Because people think, oh, I've seen all the documents and it didn't come from the top 20 or something like that. That's possible. That's not everyone's going to come in the top 20, but most of the research we've heard or reported on is about 80%, 90% come from the top 20 results. But also just being in the index and being able to be retrieved there and being something that the large language model can read easily is going to help you. The other things are all under SEO anyway. So anyway, two confirmations from Google that it's just SEO.
Yeah, I've always tried to explain to my clients that SEO is really two different tracks working in conjunction with each other. One of them is making the platform or vehicle operate as optimally as possible. This is the best platform, the best setup for this platform. The other is information clarity, making the information as easily understood as possible. If you think about it, that's exactly what AI wants. Both of those things, fast and easy to understand.
Yeah, exactly. So it should be helpful. So next thing is Google Search Live with video rolling out. So remember we talked about Search Live. If people listen to us regularly, we've talked about it quite frequently. I think we've done at least three stories on it in the last couple months, right, Jim?
Mm-hmm.
So it's now rolling out live with video because we kept talking about it was supposed to be rolled out and hadn't done it yet. It is rolling out this week on mobile. So when you get this next week, it'll probably be halfway through the week. but the AI mode, so Google says Search Live is fully integrated with Google Lens or visual search tool. To get started, just open Lens in your Google app, tap the live icon and ask whatever's on your mind while you're pointing your camera. You can have a free flowing back and forth conversation with Search AI mode aided by the visual context from your live camera feed, like different angles or objects in motion. I will say the live, not necessarily this live, but the live like in Maps was incredibly helpful when I was in Amsterdam because it would have a big arrow on the screen showing me where to go. So I just put the camera app up and I could see what's in front of me and the arrow would show me where I was going and where I would turn next while I was walking. So it's super helpful. So I have a feeling this is kind of the same concept, except you'll be talking to it as it's looking at something so that you can get an idea about it. Only thing I found with Google Lens, though, it is so e-commerce based that when I look for something not e-commerce based, it doesn't really have answers for me. Yeah. Also, I want to mention this real quick. I was looking up a medication because it fell on the floor and I take several medications, so I wasn't sure which one it was. And it identified it incorrectly twice, two different names, never got it correct. So be careful. Again, large language models, they can be incorrect frequently. So take the information with a grain of salt. If it has any effect on your life or limb, maybe double check it. But this is I think this will be kind of cool. I think people will use this. What do you think?
Oh, yes, absolutely. They will use it. My big concern is how much louder public space is going to become because of stuff like this. You ever go to a concert You remember, you go to a concert now and everybody's got their hand in the air, holding their phone up, filming the experience that they're not actually having in real life.
Yes, I will hold a camera, but at my chest level, just to get some video to post on Facebook. I still watch the concert, but I know what you're talking about.
I got a feeling that, you know, you're going to go shopping or just be in a public space and people are going to be using video and verbal search, audio search, to plan, describe and facilitate their days. And that's cool. We'll adjust. It'll be all, you know, it'll just be people acting slightly different and probably slightly louder. headphones, people.
Yeah, I'm in a tourist area, so yeah, I can see that happening for sure.
Headphone people. And app developers, group headphones.
Oh, yes. You know, I real quick, because we do have to get moving, we got some stories and not a lot of time left, but I always wondered when people started listening to their phones without headphones, why that happened. And I realized it was when they changed to not having the regular 3mm plug. And people had to have the special accessibility. Yeah. Yeah. So that's what I think started that whole trend.
100% all Tim Cook's fault.
So Google AI mode is also going to allow you to upload files, use Canvas Planner, and search while browsing.
I think it's extremely cool. AI mode just is going to have a hell of a lot more function, and you could input stuff that you can't describe to it using photographs.
Yeah, you'll be able to upload images and PDFs, and they're going to add more file types in the future. And then they're going to have Canvas to build plans and organize information in a dynamic side panel that updates as you go. Dynamic side panel, that sounds AI-ish. and this would be helpful for homework, travel planning, things of that nature. And then a search while browsing with Google Lens, which is basically what we just talked about, with or without your actual camera. So it should be helpful. I don't know that the Canvas would be used all that much, but I do think people would definitely use the images and PDFs, as long as it's not e-commerce only, because right now, that's, like I said, pretty much 90% of what I get back is always e-commerce. So,
you know, it's interesting. When just a quick comment, I thought Canvas would be one of the things that was most used, because I see people setting up rather intricate research tasks and then closing their phone, going about their business, and looking at the outcome of the research tasks later.
I definitely thought that. Again, they're mostly concentrated on phone, and that's just a lot of phone space. But yeah, it definitely could be. I wouldn't use it that way, but I do know friends that are super planners, and they would definitely use it that way.
Okay. Go ahead. If you're in the EU and you might be getting in at a note from Google, if your ads do not comply with Google's new EU user content policy, consent mode version 2, they will quite possibly turn off personalized and non-personalized ads, remarketing, and conversion tracking functionality. Again, this is in the EU, and this is only for advertisers who aren't complying with Google's EU user consent policy.
Yeah. So if you get one of these, you got to fix your stuff, and then before you can use it again, they're doing audits. So
okay, before we get into the next story, I want to just assure that listeners, this isn't a bug we're talking about. It's just kind of important to let people know. Google Business Profiles attributes are going to come with confirmations, like user review confirmations that have percentages. So when you click on an About tab about a local business, to see Google might show some of the stuff about a business, attributes about a business, and it will say confirmed by X percent of visitors.
Yeah, so like when I go to a place here, often it'll ask about, well, I haven't done it lately, but it did for a year, would ask me about like the wheelchair accessibility, and then I would answer it. And then this is what you're getting, the results. So you're going to see how many people confirmed that that is the case. Now, some people may just not confirm because they're in their car and driving, so you may not be able to, but because they kind of prompt you with it. So, but that should be good for business owners to see how people perceive their locations with the attributes that they're given.
Well, I think it's also kind of going to be used like a trust mark by search users. Well, 91% of the guys. 91% of the customers say the guy's honest. Seems pretty honest to me.
Yeah, and especially for things like accessibility and allergies. So, Google shows AI. These are our fast stories. I got to do real quick.
And
so before Ricky kicks us, Google shows AI overviews for lyrics and explanations. I have looked up lyric explanations frequently in the past, just because I'm curious what the writer meant of the song. Mm-hmm. Have you done this, Jim?
Well, yeah, that song, Lord, I Was Born a Can of Spam, is all about some guy who feels trapped in his job and get like in the big meat grinder of life. You know the one.
No, I don't, actually. I'm going to have to look this one up when we get out today.
Lord, I Was Born a Can of Spam, trying to make a living and get out of this damn can.
Oh, I've not heard that one. It sounds awesome.
Hmm. Are they gonna, well, anyway, apparently it's about this guy who feels who feels abused by the meat grinder of life.
And we'll get that in a summary, or you can read the actual comments, of course, but it'll be an AI overview, basically, for these. It's good. I'd probably rather read the page, though, because it has all these people's comments and theories. But it's definitely helpful if you're looking for a quick lookup. Google Ads tests grouping favicon content and expandable sponsored results is a really long way of saying they're going to put little icons in the ad showing the favicons of the businesses there in the AI overviews citation section.
I like it and don't like it at the same time, eh?
I liked it at first, but now I'm blind to it. So I know it's there, but I don't even bother with it. I just skip it. So I think it's a quick, like banner blindness, like we used to skip the ad at the top of the page. I think this has a quick blindness factor. It's like, yeah, okay, it's there.
Anything that gets more attention is a good thing. But if it becomes useless and just takes up space, not a good thing.
Exactly. Nothing. Google shopping test clickable submenu categories. So basically acting like a regular website, they're going to have what looks like breadcrumbs. So it's going to have like the top category and then all the categories underneath that.
And so basically then, they're expanding your top level menu, your top level map.
Under search in this one, it has indoor decorative cushions as the image. All pillows and throws, throw pillows, sofa cushions, chair and sofa cushions, bedding sets, blankets and throws, home decor, blah, 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 blah. And it can't even extend far past that. So anyways, that'll just be added to search. It could be helpful, definitely.
If it gets somebody to the conversion point faster, and the conversion point's on my website, good.
Yes, exactly. And I think it will if it works as it's pictured. Then we're almost there, just so Ricky knows.
This is last year, actually.
We have to look quick. Google shopping test. Oh, no, we don't. Sorry. I somehow got the wrong. You're right. We have one left. AI generated Google business profile menus. Basically, it's going to summarize the menus on a business profile. I don't know how helpful or not. I'm not sure.
Well, it really depends. If it makes it easier for me to figure out where to have lunch, or even better, makes it easier for me to show my 85-year-old dad where we're going to have lunch, I am so down with it.
Yeah, it's just that they subsection the menu into what they AI thinks it is, which may not be similar to what the actual menu says. In this case, it's soup, salad, starters, small plates, entrees. And it's a lot of space. You have to click a lot of clicks to look at these things. So we'll see if people use it or not. I might find it easier just to, open the menu up. So
I'm pretty sure that very soon my phone is going to be recommending the 6 or 7 things I regularly order for takeout to me whenever I go out to eat anyway.
Well, I do know when I open up one of my apps, DoorDash app, it does do that. It does tell me, hey, do you want to get this again?
Yep.
So I can see that happening for sure. So that's it. I wish I had a big story for the end today, but we were kind of not. There wasn't a big story for them. Lots of big stories.
It's the beginning of August. There shouldn't be any big stories right now. Nothing should happen. It's the beginning.
I know.
It's but dead.
But we live in a different world.
I want it to be like, oh my goodness. Like the okay. So I've been ranting the last couple of weeks that we haven't had a quiet week. It's been all like big ass scary stories and stuff. This is the first week where we've gone through the grid and hasn't been terrifying or earth-shattering stories.
Oh, wonderful. You know why? You know, it's next week. I will be there at all three, I think.
Oh, no. What's next week?
Cybersecurity Week in Vegas. It starts with B-Sides. And then it goes to Black Hat, and then it goes to DEF CON. I just found out while we were on this show that I might have a ticket to Black Hat this year, which I usually get. Usually a friend has an extra one because of what they do for Black Hat. And I will find out a lot about AI. A lot of the talks are on AI next week. So I will bring back that information, and we can share it with people when I get back. And then DEF CON is going to be DEF CON. And if you're going to be at any of these and you hear this before then, just take a look for me on social.
Yeah, we got to go real fast, Christine. I am so sorry, but we have a live show coming up right after us in the studio, and they're kind of waiting in the green room. So, on behalf of Christine Schackinger from Sites Without Walls, this is Jim Edge from Just Always Media. You've been listening to Webcology on WMR.fm, recorded live to podcasts on the 31st of July, 2025. Get outside, enjoy the summer, because it's almost gone. Three more shopping months till Halloween. Big love to everybody. Thank you to our sponsors. Be kind to each other. Rank well. Be well. And we will talk to you next week.
Bye, everybody.